Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, Marital Tour of Misguided Medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And Sydney, you wanted to open this week's episode talking about animated films. Is that
correct? Wanted to, or you wanted to?
You wanted to. You said, I got a lot to say about these. No one reached out to me about my opinions on watching animated movies. And you just wanted to really put everybody on blast. Is that how I understand it?
No, that is not accurate whatsoever.
You don't want to talk about animated movies.
Okay, I don't, but now you've put me in this position, so now I am forced to. Last week, of course, we reviewed Osmosis Jones, and I would like explored Osmosis Jones. And I would like to say that my statement that I didn't know who this movie was for is not based on a belief that I don't think adults should or can or would benefit from watching animated movies at all. I watch animated movies. I watch many animated shows with my children, and I enjoy quite a few of them. Not all, but quite a few of them. I think animation is for everyone, contrary to what many listeners believe about me. Osmosis Jones in particular, I'm not sure who it was for, because it didn't seem quite for kids or adults. Mm-hmm. That was my only point. I didn't know who that was for. If you enjoy animation, please watch it and enjoy it, and know that I am happy that you are happy watching your animated whatever age you are. I think that's wonderful.
So, just for you personally.
Well, I watch.
You think animation's for babies?
No, I watch a lot of animation with the girls all day. And so when it's my free time, I usually want to watch something live action. That is my personal preference, and it is not a value judgment on anything whatsoever. I think we all know, like, I'm a huge fan of Steven Universe, and we watched Apple and Onion together because you were on it, but it was also really great.
You watched some anime? I
know you watched anime. I watched a ton of anime.
In the past?
Yeah, in the past. I was hugely into Fushigi Yugi growing up, and I mean,
just now
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
But now you've put away childish things.
No, I'm just... Stop. I think a lot of people
talked about a lot of this past week. You don't understand what I have been through, listeners. Please stop tweeting and emailing my wife about animation. Please. It's all she's talked about over the past week is how mad everybody is at her for not preferring to watch animated works.
Well, no, I think people got the impression that I was saying animation is only for kids, and I was not saying that. And if it came across that way, I apologize. That was not my intention.
I'll get you to stop tweeting at my wife. If you need somebody to beat up on, please come at me.
And I have the book Cells at Work. Everybody's been saying, but have you seen Cells at Work? I have that book. Tay got it for me. So yes, I have not seen it, but I've read it. So okay. And it's great. Anyway.
So now, the greatest Sawbones controversy of the past 6 months has been put to bed. No one's going to tweet about animation anymore.
Here are the things I've learned on Sawbones. Don't come for fluoride. Don't come for animation.
Yeah.
There are strong opinions.
Very strong. Sydney, we are not talking about, as much as I would love to sit here and meditate about Osmosis Jones for another 30 minutes, that is not what we are discussing this week.
No. We are going to talk about something you had never heard of.
Had never heard of. No, that is correct.
And
this is completely foreign to me.
This really surprised me. I asked Justin, I was thinking of doing a show on grounding this week.
And I said, I don't know what that is.
And I said, earthing.
Which I think is to my credit, because that means that I have self-policed my own social media feeds enough that I don't get inundated with this kind of stuff, right? That's impressive.
Well, to be fair, part of the reason I know about it is my profession.
Really?
Not social media. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when you're a doctor in real medicine, fake medicine is asked about a lot.
I'm not saying in comparison to you. I'm just saying as like a consumer of fine medical treatments.
Well, I was just surprised you'd never heard because it grounding or earthing, whichever term you prefer, has become it's a very popular. I don't want to already say woo,
but it was early. You tip your hand.
I know, but Gwyneth Paltrow is a fan.
Oh well, okay. All right, got it.
And a lot of our listeners wanted us to talk about it. Cora, Chris, Paul, Kyle, Whitney, Natalie, Merritt, Mia, Kay, Elena, Macy, Audrey, Lena, Julie, John, Yusuf, Katie, and Adrian all recommended this topic. Thank you. It's a good one because it is very popular. And I guess with, what's his face that has his show about being out on the earth now? You know?
Zac Efron?
Yes, that nice young man who has a show about being outside, I believe.
Zac Efron is outside.
I think that's what it's called. I guess he has talked about it recently. So I went into this, by the way, I wouldn't say necessarily with an open mind because...
That ship done sailed.
Well, I was already somewhat familiar with the idea of it before I started doing this research. And it never quite made scientific sense to me, like the theory behind it. So I wouldn't say that I was like ready to be convinced, but like I read all the research. I did have though an open heart because my understanding was that this was something that is probably, well, almost certainly harmless in most scenarios and free and seemed nice. And so I thought, you know, maybe this would fall into like, as long as you're not using it as a substitute for real medicine, if you just like doing this, this seems pretty harmless.
Sure.
That was kind of the way I entered this topic, thinking that that would be my takeaway from it. If you like to do it, why not? It's, you know, but of course, I didn't think about the monetary aspect.
Always got to be a monetary aspect. Come on.
There's always got to be money. You'd think we've mentioned this before. You'd think I have watched enough Penn and Teller to know that there's money, there's got to be money in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then I was disappointed. So I should know better. How long have we done this show?
I know.
So the idea is really simple. Okay, Justin, here's the idea behind grounding or earthing, whatever you prefer.
Grounding is a word and earthing is not. So I'm going to go with grounding.
We can call it grounding.
Okay.
Humans need contact, physical contact with the earth itself. Mm-hmm. Unobstructed contact with the earth to balance our bodies, our systems.
Okay.
That is the concept.
Okay.
There are a lot of spiritual aspects to this. Like if you dig back through the history of this concept, there's a lot that connects this to like various spiritualities and faiths and belief systems. I'm not going to talk about any of that because that's not what the show does. We're not talking about the spiritual part. If whatever your faith is, you feel more connected to it by touching the earth. Okay, that's fine. I have no part of that conversation. But there's a science part to it that I think is what we need to talk about. The proponents of grounding or earthing, of course, start out by appealing to our ancients, obviously.
Ancient wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. For the inspiration. And the original connections are pretty vague. It's that idea that like, well, you know, back in olden times, people didn't have shoes and they slept on the ground and they were fine.
Right.
Now,
they loved sleeping on the ground because it was so healthy for them. And they loved not having shoes because it really helped connect them to the earth.
Now, here's the weird thing. This statement, because I hear this a lot, like people back then were fine. Were they? Were they fine? This is always the problem with this. Were they fine, though?
Yeah, because I think they would probably enjoy the shoes.
No, but they weren't fine because they were dying of, like, infections that now we treat easily with antibiotics or over-the-counter ointments. They were dying of vaccine-preventable diseases. They would get an appendicitis and die because, you know, we didn't have antibiotics or surgery or anything like that. We didn't have any, like, we couldn't fix a trauma. You, like, fall and break a bone, and we're like, well, hope for the best. We can't do surgery. We don't have anesthesia or antiseptic technique. And also, giving birth, cross your fingers. And also, you know, food could be spoiled, but we don't know about spoiled food or food poisoning. And also, the water might be dirty.
I heard someone say, I think it was David Cross, like, a very long time ago, say, the thing to remember about when you're talking about ancient teachings, ancient wisdom, is that you are referencing things that people thought when they were even dumber than they are right now. So think about that. Like, you're actually talking about people that are dumber than we are in this moment currently.
Well, that's, I mean, it's the answer to what did people do before there were vaccines?
They died.
I mean, that's the sad answer. So, like, I would argue that people weren't just fine when they were sleeping on the ground and not wearing shoes, but I'm not going to necessarily connect it to their lack of shoes at this point.
Right.
So we could put the first, I don't know if you want to say credit or blame for this idea, on a German naturopath, Adolf Just.
What is going on in Germany? I feel like it is flip a coin and see what, if you say someone's a German, I feel like it is like flip a coin whether or not they're going to be a heroic scientist figuring a bunch of stuff out or like an absolute madman. I feel like it is always like that is all you get. It is fire and ice over there in Germany. Fire and ice.
Well, it's weird because there's a lot of like this like naturopathic kind of stuff that traces, it's not all of it, obviously, but some of its roots to Germany. And then there's also like homeopathy, which can trace its roots there.
Yeah.
But then, yes, you're right. There are also real scientific advancements. I don't know. But at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, he kind of started popularizing naturopathy in general, but also these beliefs that like a return to nature is the way to health. Right. Like a return to the way we used to live when we were more connected to the earth, like natural remedies, raw foods, fasting, just drink a lot of water. There's a lot of focus on clay in his writings, the importance of clay. Mm. Like, you know, we've talked about that before. That's an idea. He also had some other ideas. Like he thought gymnastics were bad for you because they're artificial. He thought vaccines were poison, and that technology was an affront to nature.
That one. Okay.
In addition, he advocated for walking on the ground barefoot and sleeping on the ground as a way to reconnect to the earth. And this was all, by the way, part of his medical but also spiritual beliefs. This was definitely connected to his faith as well. Like this was a way to be closer to his belief system, was also to return to this simpler way of living, but then it was also supposed to give you good health. So it was like both connected. On a positive note, he was anti-homeopathy.
Great.
Which tells you something about homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Even this guy knew it was fake. There was also a French agronomist who followed in those footsteps, Matteo Tavera, who wrote a series of letters, and I've read some of them.
B.S. So was that the series of letters?
No, it's fascinating.
WTF.
It's the kind of writing that is very lovely. It's almost like it sucks you in and you're reading it and you realize, like, I have no idea what I've been reading for the last 5 minutes, but it felt nice in my brain as it resonated there. So I can see how it was persuasive. The idea is that we have this sacred mission on Earth. That's what it's called. And it has to do with the fact that there is a natural electricity in the Earth, mm-hmm. and also all around us. And we act as like antenna for it. Mm-hmm. And the way that we can maintain life, I don't know, indefinitely maybe, is to connect with the earth appropriately, ground ourselves with the earth so that the passage of electricity can move through us and we can stay alive.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Sure.
I'm just saying all of this is what would inspire the guy that we're going to talk mainly about in this episode, Clint Ober.
Okay.
Ober was a cable installation guy in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. He worked for a major cable installation company, so he understood very well cables, like electricity, that like part of things
as depicted in the hit film Cable Guy.
Exactly like that. I assume I've never seen that, but I assume
it's very dark.
after retirement, he alludes to in his writing some sort of health issue, some sort of challenge that he encountered with his health. And it sent him on this sort of spiritual journey, health journey around the world to try to like reconnect with himself and understand himself and how where he fits in and that kind of thing. All very normal, I think, after facing a big health challenge. In his travels, he describes this sitting on a park bench kind of situation where he's looking around at all the people walking around him. And it occurs to him that the problem is that everybody is wearing shoes.
Ah.
And we all have poor health because our shoes are usually made of an insulating material, like rubber or plastic or something like that, that keeps us from connecting with the natural electricity of the earth. And maybe if we weren't wearing shoes, we would all feel better. Because, of course, our forebears did not wear shoes and they were fine, although we've established they weren't. Or if they did wear shoes, he allows for this, they were made of like hide, like leather, which conductive. Is conductive. Right. So we need conductive shoes or no shoes to help us. We need to be grounded just like a cable has to be grounded in the earth.
I would say, as a rule, that scientific truth does not find you on a park bench. Truth about human experience, I could say. Strength.
A la Forrest Gump.
Thank you, Sydney. Yes, of course. That timely film, Forrest Gump. But I would argue that scientific truth is found in a lab, is found in books. Scientific truth very rarely occurs to one while sitting on a park bench.
I don't know. Wasn't Newton sitting under a tree?
Yeah, but Newton, this is the difference, right? Newton was sitting under a tree. Let's say he was on a park bench. An apple fell out of the tree. Isaac Newton was like, oh, I get it. Okay, here's the whole bit. Let me lay it out for you. Apple fell on me. He's like, oh, God, this hurts. I'm going to take the rest of the afternoon off and then start working on mm-hmm. this thing, right?
People like to imagine it's like House. It's like when House has his House moment in every episode where somebody says something random and he's tossing the ball in the air and he goes,
he catches the ball and he's like, oh, my God, gravity.
And I got it. I wish everything worked that way.
Yeah. It's one of those things that feels like it should be true, right? Like, yeah. Oh, this makes sense. You know what? Maybe the problem is all the shoes. Except, what's the problem, dog? Because we're living much longer now. So it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, you can see where it ties into like his background in like cable and grounding and that kind of thing. But anyway, so if the story ended with like, so he recommended everybody should spend some time walking barefoot and like camping. Oh, okay. But of course, that's not where the story ends. You can't charge people for telling them to walk barefoot. Well, you probably could. I'm sure somebody does. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, doctors might get in the way because we would point out things like, well, you do need to be careful about like stepping on things or like hookworm or, you know, sleeping outside isn't always an option. So we have to find a way to ground ourselves inside. How can you get grounded and earthed in your house, in the convenience of your own home?
I don't know.
So Ober built a bed, a grounded bed. Oh, basically, he attached a grounding wire from his bed to a rod outside.
Okay.
And then he slept on his bed that was now grounded to the earth. I think like metallic duct tape was involved in this process. Yeah. And he noticed, after sleeping on this grounded bed, he noticed a huge difference in his own personal symptoms of chronic pain. And he also noticed his sleep was improved. And he wanted to share his discovery, so he made some for his friends. He grounded their beds. And they were all like, you're right. This is great. I love my new grounded bed.
Or you just don't want to insult your maniac friend that came over and tied a wire to your bed.
Then a couple years later, his first...
did it while they were asleep, and he didn't ask. This is my theory. I'm just kidding. No, I'm sure he was...
His first experiment, and many of these experiments, by the way, are kind of like led by Mr. Ober, but his first experiment was kind of a makeshift. He took like a random group of older people that he found, like he had a nurse help him find old people in pain. And then he grounded half of them and sham grounded the other half. Like, it looked, they thought they were grounded, but they had like a spacer between themselves and the grounded part.
Double blind.
Yes. And he published the, made a PowerPoint. Somehow he shared the results of this. And it was just overwhelming that the people who were grounded had better sleep and better pain, like less pain, and the people who weren't.
Well, that should be worse. I feel silly for dogging this guy then. That should be enough for you, Dr. McElroy. You did research. It's fine.
So he wanted to share it with the world, of course.
Yeah, me too.
So he found a cardiologist, Stephen Sinatra, who...
It's a good name.
Who looked at this research and was impressed. And a writer named Martin Zucker, who it looks like writes a lot of these kinds of books. Like, he's teamed up with a lot of different people to write a lot of wellness. We'll use that word, wellness type books. And in 2010, Earthing, the Most Important Health Discovery Ever, was published.
God, that's a good title, though. That's the book. You gotta give it up. That's a good title. Who's not gonna read that?
And it got a lot of attention, as you may imagine, since it is the most important health discovery ever. And from other doctors, there were two physicians in Poland who were related, who specifically kind of latched onto this and wanted to do more research in this area after reading this book. And again, if all of this just amounted to people reading a book and for whatever pseudoscientific reason saying like, well, maybe I'll go outside barefoot occasionally, that would not be a big deal. But as I've already said, Ober maintains you need to be able to ground yourself in the house. And so you, in order to do that, you got to have products, right? You got to have stuff you can buy.
A line of grounded products.
So you can go to their website. There are mats to take with you. Like there's the grounded bed idea, which is like a mat that you lay on your bed. You don't have to buy the whole bed. You just like get the grounding mat for your bed. So there's like a grounding mat. There's a grounding pillowcase to put on your own pillow so that you can get the whole set, the whole bed going. There's like a mat you can take, a travel mat you can take with you. There are bands to wear around your body that are supposed to focus on like your gut balance. There are patch kits, which are like little patches that you attach to like electrodes all over your body. So you can just like do a touch up here and there.
Yeah, just a little bit of grounding.
As you need it. There's a chair that is called the Ultimate Relaxation Chair that is billed as grounded, zero gravity, heat, and pulsating massage relaxation chair for the low, low price of $3,399.
A bargain.
Yeah. So there are all kinds of things you can buy. And I know what you're thinking is like, but does it work? Because so far, all we know is that he did this study. It looked like it worked.
Actually,
this cardiologist and these two doctors in Poland agree that it works. So
what I'm thinking is, where's my credit card? I'm buying this chair.
I'm going to get into the research, but before I do that, let's go to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. Okay, my chair will just be here in a couple of days, so I do need to go ahead and hurry this up so I can clear space for it and,
Install
it properly.
I have some bad news for you.
Impossible.
Now, as you read... You can go to like the Earthing Institute online to read more about this whole story. But I mean, there's a book. So obviously, there are other books you can buy about Earthing.
When you said online, I got so disappointed. I did want to go to the physical Earthing Institute.
I don't think there's a physical place.
No,
I don't.
Who knows?
And there's a store called Ultimate Longevity where you can buy all this stuff. And if you look on their site where you can buy stuff, you start to see some things that might set off some red flags if you're a fan of this show. One, they have like a system that is there to reduce EMF in your home. Mm-hmm. They have an EMF-free zone system that you can have installed to go. you're already looking ahead,
I just went to the website. Yeah.
And on a side note, the idea of electromagnetic fields that are harming you in your house.
Yeah.
It plays big into all this. That's part of, if you accept that we need to be grounded to be balanced with the earth and it has to do with the flow of electrons, which I haven't really specified. That's his theory, is that this natural electricity from the earth is in the form of a ton of like free electrons that are floating around on the earth system, on the earth surface. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you can get these free electrons into your body is to go like put your bare feet and hands on the earth. And then you get this flow of free electrons into your body that are going to go around and fight all those that's where things get kind of wild. Like, they're going to fight all the free radicals in your body, and they're going to fight all the what else does he say? The, what you need them is antioxidants. He throws that in there. Like, all these kinds of, like, well, none of this really.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're trying to say, but it, but then it just comes back to, like, will they balance you? Which I don't know what that means either. But the EMF plays a big part in this, because EMFs are the reasons that our electrons are so out of whack, is part of the argument. Mm-hmm. There are lots of reasons, stress, modern life, blah, blah, blah.
But the main thing is.
Yes. And we should do a whole show on EMF, because it's fine. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is adaptogens. He sells something called the ultimate adaptogenic elixir, which which says on the page, based on ancient wisdom and sacred science. Sacred science. I don't know how to, that's a lot to unpack, but.
Wow. Can I just read this one bit here?
Sure.
Our ancestors considered them safe. They're talking about plants. The plants are in the ultimate adaptogenic elixir. Mm-hmm. Our ancestors considered them sacred and superior to all of the plants on the planet and named them tonic herbs, because they knew that if these plants were grown, harvested, made into extracts, and married, blended and balanced properly, the finished extract elixir would resonate one's innate divine frequency through transference, toning, awakening one's miraculous divine blueprint on all levels, body, mind, and soul. Is there something in this elixir that makes your sentences just absolutely wild? Just like clause on clause on clause. Is that necessary to the process?
It's to hide the fact
that was one sentence.
It's to hide the fact that it, they can't even tell you how it's supposed to work, whether or not it does work or not. They can't even tell you, because nobody,
you're not going to call them.
Again, adaptogens are a whole other show, because they, you can't, they, no one, even the people who are proponents of them don't know how they work or why they would work or what they would actually do, other than, again, it's this idea that you need to be balanced. There's this weird idea that, like, health is balance. And I, because we do this show, in my mind, I trace it back to the four humors. Like, what we're really talking about is the humoral system of medicine. Oh, so you want to bring my humors into balance? Well, we already know that's not anything. How the body works. Yeah. But I feel like they're kind of calling to that same idea, that that's really what health is balance. And then I think, again, we're getting into some spiritual things which do benefit from balance, but that's not medicine. That's something else. Anyway, what does the data say?
I don't know. You tell me.
So there are not tons of studies, I would say. There are studies on this. Not as many as you would think if it was the most important health discovery ever, or whatever they say. Many of the ones that do exist have been funded by Ober.
What do you think the most important health discovery ever is?
Ooh, I mean, vaccines are way up there.
I think, like, cell theory. Like, cell,
germ theory of disease, penicillin.
Discovery of the cell? Cork?
I mean, I could maybe narrow it down to a top five, but that's a tough question.
That'd be a good episode of time. Top five.
Top five.
I hope grounding has to make top five, though. Yeah. If it's the most important.
A lot of the studies do seem to be the same sort of group of researchers over and over again. So it's not like independent researchers all over the planet are
finding the same.
Right. Things. Not every single one. Some are very small. All are small. Some are incredibly small. There are no, like, giant, you know, multi-center hundreds or thousands of participant studies. Some are observational. Some are not blinded or not controlled. There's one that is literally just one guy who is both the subject and the investigator, and then writes about his own experience.
Folks, the study sizes don't get much smaller than that.
And then there's one
that's
that I
barely
particularly...
one. That's 0.5, I would say.
There's one that I particularly like, where eight guys have to, like, live in a hotel and do toe raises every day and then have, like, a lot of blood work done.
Coming this fall on Netflix. We finally reached the bottom of the barrel. Come watch eight men do toe raises.
They have to hold barbells while they do it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little bit more exciting. But they also have to talk to their future spouse while wearing a mask. Amazing.
Is Carol Baskin in that one? Of course, they all the studies, because you can link to them from this website. All the studies say it works.
Yeah, I haven't found one yet that didn't.
Huh? No, but it depends on what you mean by work. A lot of the data is well,
depends
a lot
on
of
what
it's
your
subjective.
Of what is,
and that's why. I mean, we talk about this a lot when it comes to snake oil. A lot of it is based on testimonial, and like these studies, I would say, are not that far from just testimonials. Like, does it? It made me sleep so much better. My stiffness and achiness was so much better. So it's very subjective. And I'm not saying that these people didn't experience any benefits. It's just that's a really hard thing to measure if you're just asking questions of these participants who, I mean, who knows what their, why they came into this, how were they selected? Did they already, like some of them, it seems like were recruited through like massage therapists or those kinds of like, were they already maybe prone,
open-minded,
yeah. You know, so I don't know, but I don't know all that data because I don't have, it's not given to me. But the other stuff that isn't subjective, it's just kind of weird. Like sometimes they did EEGs, which is how we like sort of measure brain activity and brain waves, which can tell us some things about the brain, but not all things about the brain can be found out through EEGs. EMGs, which are like, they're measuring like muscle contraction and like reactivity and that kind of thing through some of them, and like the nerve conduction and how those signals are passing through and where they're getting through. Sometimes they're just doing like surface conduction of the skin, electricity on the skin type measurements. Some of it is live blood analysis, which we've talked about on the show before is fake. Some of them are just standard blood tests. They're just checking like a complete blood count or a chemistry panel before and after various things. And I don't know what to do with any of that. They take all that data and go, so obviously it works. For me, it's weird because it's like if you were trying to lose weight and you did something, like if we're talking in a scientific experiment, you did something and you were going to see if it helped you lose weight. And so you measured your head circumference and then did the thing and measured your head circumference again and went, see, I lost weight. Mm. And I would go, what does any of that have to, like, how does that prove anything? Like the measurements don't, I know what those things mean,
right,
and I know what they can tell me, but I don't know why they would tell me anything about your pain level or your sleep or,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's just random numbers that are thrown out and like, look at the change in the alkaline phosphatase. And it's like, okay, I don't know what that means. So anyway, the data I would say is weak, to put it mildly, and would need to be done appropriately, double blinded by multiple investigators in different centers who are not already being funded by the guy who's selling products.
Yeah.
You know, based on this, what can it help with? What do they say it can do for you?
Oh my God.
Because we've talked about pain and sleep, which again are somewhat subjective. And you could, you know, we know from this show that you can often sell people things that aren't real that will convince them, you know, through the placebo effect that it did help them with their pain or their sleep. But what about the other things?
I need somebody to make a, please hire the Animaniacs, get them back together. And I need a song where they're just singing this list that we can play for every one of these, like,
when you
panaceas, anemia, autism, asthma, arthritis, anxiety, burns, and bipolar. It's like, that's just the beginning.
It's, and if you'll notice, it's in alphabetical order because on their website, they just have the whole alphabet there, and you can click on each letter of the alphabet and it'll tell you all the things that start with that letter that it helps with. So that is why I have it in this order. But as you said, all those things, blood pressure, cold, cellulitis, complexion, circulation, chronic fatigue, children are listed on there. So it'll help with children.
Listen, I'll try anything at this point, folks.
Depression, digestion, diabetes, eyes, electrosensitivity, frequent urination, fibromyalgia, gum disease, groundedness, hernias, headaches, kidney disease, leg cramps, lupus, Lyme, MS, memory, pets. Yes, you can ground your pets. Pneumonia, Parkinson's, there are products for that too, of course. Plantar fasciitis, panic attacks, pain, rheumatoid arthritis, strokes, sinus problems, stress, sleep, sex, skin, tendonitis, tinnitus, thyroid, veins, and then these other blocks of quote unquote, multiple complaints in both men and women. And then there's a lot of other even less specific stuff about, like, it fights inflammation. It stops free radicals. It is an antioxidant. And this is when they start to talk about indirect things.
Yeah.
About how, because it blocks inflammation, chronic inflammation, that's always the thing, right, with all this stuff. It helps with chronic inflammation, which stops tumorigenesis, which stops...
You name it.
Cancer.
Yeah.
So then the cancer gets thrown in there, but indirectly, because that's where you get really cracked down on.
It's just a nice perk.
Yes.
It's not worse. I'm not saying it cures cancer. We're just saying it will fix the problems that cause cancer.
They do mention that you got to be careful with Lyme. And I think they're talking about the concept of chronic Lyme disease with this, because when you start grounding, you can have this like inflammatory reaction as all the hidden spirochetes die off. So you got to go slowly with grounding if you have chronic Lyme.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you have two made up things at the same time. It's kind of like a humidifier and a dehumidifier next to each other.
You just got to be careful.
So careful.
There are lots of testimonials. There's an interview where he was on Goop. He was featured on Goop in an interview. You know they've got to get into grounding. This is so Goop. But one of the, and Goop, by the way, if you're not familiar, is Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle website, where, among other things, she talks about wellness and a lot of questionable medical pseudoscientific things. But he says, one of the first serious illnesses I dealt with was a hospice patient suffering from crippling arthritis. This is Ober himself. He was, and this is a hospice patient, by the way, which, to qualify for hospice, means that it is likely that this patient will pass away in the next 6 months.
Okay.
That is likely. He was unable to leave his bed, and his nurse and daughter had to help me lift him out of the bed to install the grounded sheet. A week after my visit, I got a call from the patient who told me that a squirrel had chewed through his ground wire. It was significant for two reasons. First, this man who had been unable to walk was now active enough to leave the house and check the wire. Second, the effect of grounding was so dramatic that he noticed immediately when the connection was disrupted. He later told me that the grounding reduced his inflammation and that the burning pain he felt had finally subsided, and he lived 6 or 7 years longer. So, I mean, there you go. He talks about, like, after these sorts of experiences, he was looking into grounding for fighting age. That's the ultimate, like, all these things lead to one path, which is, yeah, how do we stop aging and live forever?
Right.
I always find, like, these wellness things end up there. So the deal is that there is no solid evidence that this does anything. I mean, the theory behind it that, like, there are all these free electrons out there and all you have to do is touch the earth and you get these electrons, and they only exist on the surface of the earth. Like, which earth? Like, grass or dirt or sand? Or what if there's snow? Is that a problem? What about my driveway? Does it matter if it's cement or asphalt? Like, none of that is clear. Our dirt sucks and can't grow anything. Is it okay? Do I need to get some fresh soil? Like, I don't think any of those are answered by, like, what the earth...
Yeah.
Will balance you. And, you know, I know that probably there's no harm in walking outside on the earth, right? Like, I walk outside barefoot a lot. But, you know, you do want to be careful about, like, dead mice.
You never know.
That's what came to mind.
That's what comes to mind for me from walking outside barefoot. And there's a dead mice I step on. Oh, my God. That's my whole week.
Well, my mom always said I would step on a bee, so not to run around barefoot.
Would you rather step on a bee? Are you kidding me?
Well, no, that would hurt. But there are, I mean, I guess it depends on where you live, right? Because, like, there's broken glass. There's, like, the old don't step on a rusty nail. You're going to get tetanus. That was always my biggest fear growing up, because then I'd have to get another tetanus shot.
Yeah.
You should get your booster anyway, I finally learned. But the point is, I guess there are some risks. I mean, I don't want to engage in hyperbole. There are risks to walking around outside barefoot. And there are risks to sleeping outside, depending on, you know, the weather or where you are. Also, there is hookworm, which we've talked about on the show before, from walking around barefoot.
Jimmy Carter hasn't fixed it completely yet. He's trying.
That's not the one he's after.
No, guinea worm?
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
But
he'll come for hookworm next, is what I'm saying. He's going to wrap up the guinea worm here real soon, and then hookworm's next on his hit list.
Absolutely. I have faith.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be pedantic. I don't want to say that, like, if all this guy was saying is, I think you would feel better if you stood outside in bare feet. I'm not going to give somebody a hard time for that. You know, it's nice to be outside. I enjoy being outside. Mm-hmm. I think if people enjoy being outside and also seek medical professionals for their medical problems, I think that's all great.
Sure.
Please wear your sunscreen. But like, I think that's all great. But then you get to the products. There's got to be the products. And I mentioned this website where there are products. Of course, if you just do a quick search, there are tons of earthing products out there that you can buy. That there are socks you can buy. There are all kinds of special earthing shoes and sandals that you can buy that are made of materials that will conduct the free electrons from the earth into your body in stylish sandals. There are tons of products out there. And that's my problem is twofold. One, it doesn't meet our test here because you can pay a lot for some. As I mentioned, that chair is over $3,000. But even like the smaller products they sell are a couple $100 here, $80 there.
Yeah.
You know, $50 for these shoes, whatever. So you might be getting ripped off. Which I guess if you have all the money in the world is your business if you want to buy special earthing sandals. But not everybody does. And some people are going to read this and think it sounds just believable enough that maybe they'll give it a shot because they're scared and they're sick and they're desperate.
Nothing else has worked.
And they'll spend money on this kind of thing. And that's,
the healthcare system in America is broken, so they can't afford it anyway.
Exactly. And you don't trust the healthcare system. So by way of that, you don't trust your doctors because they're part of the American healthcare system that scares you, intimidates you because it is so bad and broken. So you do this instead. And that's the big part. You do this instead. That's the final point. That's my worry with stuff like this is if you think you could cure your what in that list do you want to fix? Do you want to fix your MS? Do you want to fix your circulation? Do you want to fix your thyroid disease? Do you want to buy these products to try to, and when I say fix, I'm using this as you shouldn't do this, fix autism. They always throw that in here, and it's so in all these fake medical things. It's so frustrating. Do you want to address neurodivergence by buying a $3,000 massage chair?
People with autism don't need fixed.
Exactly.
We've said it before, but I think it bears saying again, like different life experiences. They need to be supported just like everybody else on planet Earth. So irritating.
And I think that's the frustrating thing. If this is a spiritual thing, like the German guy was doing it because it was his spiritual belief. Now, he also said vaccines were poison. So I don't think we would have been buddies. But you're selling people something and you're taking their money, but you're also giving them hope and you might be leading them away from medicine that could actually help them. Yeah. Like they could be going to doctors for any of those above diagnoses that I mentioned and actually getting help and getting better. And instead they're wasting their time on earth and their money on you and your stuff, which if it's your personal belief, you go sleep outside and walk barefoot as much as you want. But once you start ripping people off, it's not fair.
Then you're on our neighborhood and we're going to take him down.
I don't know if he's going to, I'm worried he's going to come for me.
Yeah. This is the problem with doing living people.
But I mean, you know, again, I think that the science is incredibly weak. And if you want to prove that any of this makes sense, you got to do, I mean, something else. You got to do a lot more research. And it can't just be the same people who've already bought into it. You know, you have to have open-minded outside researchers to reproduce these experiments on large scales in appropriately controlled, you know, methods. Measuring something that actually means something. I mean, like the data you collect has to be meaningful. It can't just be random lab tests and studies and imaging. And it can't be testimonials. Testimonials don't mean anything.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you would like to buy a secondhand, never used grounding chair at a much reduced sticker price, please get in contact with me. Thank you, the taxpayers, for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. Thanks for your support during the Max Fund Drive.
Yes, we really thank you all so much.
We're going to continue to upload episodes of Fast and Furious and Justin and Sydney. I know I've been lax on that. There's four up there. We've recorded 5 and 6. We just need to watch 7 and 8. I think it's just going to be hard to say goodbye to Paul. I think that we're both kind of dreading it. We don't want to, anyway.
You know, that I think that's actually true.
I know. I'm not kidding.
No, that's not, yeah.
A joke.
Well, I didn't know if you were being facetious, no, but yeah, not. I am having a hard time. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's about family in the end, Sid, if you think about it.
All family ain't blood, and all blood ain't family.
That's what it says on the Facebook meme.
I don't even, does it ever say that in the movie? No, I know. Every time I see that Facebook meme, that's all I can wonder. Will I ever find that in the movie?
Thank you. But thank you for your support during that. It really, especially in these Trey weird times, it means a lot.
Thank you for all your feedback on animated films and television series. I don't ever want to tell anybody that they shouldn't enjoy the harmless thing they enjoy. And I never want to give anybody a hard time because there is no age on what movies or books or TV shows are okay to still enjoy. Mm-hmm. I happily read Archie comics to this day. So nice. I am the last one to throw shade.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. And be sure to join us again next week for Sawbones. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we host
Round Springfield. Round Springfield is a Simpsons adjacent podcast where we talk to your favorite Simpsons writers, voice actors, and everyone who's worked on the show to talk about shows that aren't The Simpsons. So we're going to be talking to people like David X. Cohen, Yeardley Smith, Tim Long about other projects they've worked on, sometimes projects that didn't go well, some failures,
yeah,
some rejection,
some failed pilots, some failed life events.
Yeah, we just talked to all the failures of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So if you really love your Simpsons trivia and want to get to know the people who have worked on The Simpsons a little bit better, come by Round Springfield.
Every other week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.